Good morning, everyone. It's 10:15, and I'm calling the Tax Committee to order for Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. There's a quorum present. The first item on the agenda is adoption of the minutes for April 16th, 2026. Representative Smith, would you like to move the minutes for April 16th?
I would love to, Chair. Move the minutes.
Excellent. Representative Smith has moved the minutes of April 16th, 2026 for adoption. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Motion carries. The minutes for April 16th are adopted. Okay, so today on the agenda, we have a number of tax increment financing bills and then a couple of other special ag badge bills that are also related to local taxing, but a little, you know, not exactly tax increment financing or the other kind. It's very special. Everything Representative Ag Badge brings is special, of course. Okay, so first we're just going to maybe turn to Mr. Cope for just a couple minutes on tax increment financing in general. Mr. Cope.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tax increment financing is a financing tool that state law allows local governments to use. So when local governments choose to use TIF, they will effectively freeze the taxable value of the land included in a tax increment financing district, and any increases on the value in the land after a TIF district is certified become captured for the purposes of the tax increment financing district. After certification, any taxes that are imposed on the captured value of the land become increment, and increment is then used to pay for the costs of those development. So, because tax increment financing works by prospectively capturing value caused by development, it's always paired with a form of debt financing. And generally, within the first 5 years after a tax increment financing is certified, the district has to undertake the majority of its development debt. And then beginning with the sixth year after it's certified, it must decertify once the amount of increment it's collected is sufficient to pay off the development debt. The historical most predominant use of tax increment financing was to redevelop blighted parcels. So in the situation where there was a property that was substandard and had declining property values, tax increment financing would be used to increase value and then to pay for the costs of the development of that parcel. I believe all the TIF bills that we're discussing today are redevelopment districts.
Great.
I'm happy to provide any other information, Madam Chair.
I think that's really helpful. Thank you, Mr. Cope. So I just wanted to, so today we're hearing tax increment financing bills. Just want to highlight that cities are allowed to do sort of a lot of TIF districts by right, which means that every time that we see a TIF bill in front of the legislature, it's an exception to state law. And you know, this sort of began as a tool, as Mr. Cope was saying, to redevelop blighted properties. I would say that it's, you know, through exceptions to state law, it's been expanded outside of that original kind of narrow use. I also would say that when you freeze the net tax capacity of a parcel or a district, that means that, you know, the part of the levy that would go on if you were counting the increment in the adjusted net tax capacity gets shifted onto other properties, including homesteads, apartment dwellers. The other piece to remember is that, you know, cities are not the only level of government that rely on property tax levies, thinking particularly of counties and school districts. Of course, there are others, but, you know, anytime you're foregoing net tax capacity, that also has an impact on, you know, the other taxing jurisdictions. So just, I guess, in general, a few things that I wanted to bring up as we start this discussion. And we're going to, you know, we're going to try to move pretty quickly because we have a lot of bills today, but certainly, you know, I'd ask testifiers to keep their testimony under a couple minutes if possible. You know, tell us a bit about the project and a little bit about the state law that you're asking for an exception from and why. And so with that, we'll get going. All right, first up on the agenda, Chair Akam, House File 3360. a TIF bill for the city of Wayzata. Welcome to the committee. Thank you so much for being here, Chair Akam. I will move that House File 3360 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Chair Akam, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Davids and members of the House Tax Committee. Thank you for hearing House File 3360 today, a tax increment financing bill for the city of Wayzata. This bill allows the city of Wayzata to expend increment on three segments of the project. They are the design and construction of the Eco Park, which includes restoring the shore, marsh and water quality, along with a pier extension from the lakeside boardwalk and eco living classrooms. Secondly, a restoration of the historic section Foreman House, including its learning center and community space. And finally, the expansion and remodeling of the Depot Park with accessibility improvements. This project will allow people like my husband, who use a wheelchair for mobility, to access the lake in a way that's hard to find today. It will allow school groups to come and learn about the lake ecosystem. Madam Chair and Chair Davids, if you have a chance to visit Wayzata, I know you know what an important regional destination this is for Minnesotans to enjoy. The Panaway Project is one of only a few spots on Lake Minnetonka that provides public access to the lake, and people come from all over the metro and the state to enjoy this access point. The Tax Committee members helped Wayzata begin this project by allowing for community lakefront access and pedestrian walkway. We invite all of you to come see this amazing public space. We are asking for your consideration to complete this important public infrastructure project. Madam Chair, I have with me Mayor Andrew Mullen of Wayzata, and City Manager Aurora Yeager is here in case we have technical questions.
Thank you, Representative Akam. Mayor Mullen, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself as you get started.
Good morning, Chair Gomez and Chair Davids and members of the House Committee. I'm Andrew Mullen, Mayor of Wayzata, Minnesota. Thank you for hearing House File 3360 today and the opportunity to testify on behalf of the City of Wayzata. We'd like to thank Chair Gomez, Chair David, and member of the committee for your commitment to this regional destination in Wayzata called Panaway, located on Lake Minnetonka in the city proper of Wayzata. We'd also like to thank Representative Akam for her leadership and commitment on this project. We are so appreciative that you have previously allowed us to use TIF for this project and lakefront access and the pedestrian walkway. And we want to know that your efforts have provided immense success in our town. And if you haven't visited, I'd love to host you and walk you through it personally. Madam Chair and Mr. Chair and members, House File 3360 would allow us to complete the final components of the Panaway Project, which includes the Depot Park, Section Foreman's House, and Eco Park. I believe there's a handout in your packet if you want to reference those project elements. A key thing to stress here is these are all public amenities and related infrastructure. The Depot Park surrounds the historic Wayzata Train Depot, which is on the National Registry landmark since 1906. The project will remodel the park and the building to improve accessibility, enhance the public space around it, and add a public restroom. The Section Foreman's House is a second National Historic Registry building in city proper Wayzata. It's a historic home few feet from the shoreline, built in 1902. We're going to have an adaptive reuse of this structure for an indoor and outdoor classroom and community space. And then the eco park around that structure will be restored to shoreline marsh to improve the water quality, the holding ponds, and extend the public lake walk and provide outdoor STEM learning opportunities right there on the lake. I would like to stress that the Panaway Project is one of the limited places on Lake Minnetonka that provides public access. I will note that only about 2% of the shoreline of the ninth largest lake in the state of Minnesota is accessible to the public, but Wayzata is restoring and preserving about 2,000 linear square feet of shoreline for everyone, for the public to enjoy, and people are coming from all over the region and the state to just do that. Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, you have supported us in the past on this very project. We're deeply grateful for that. We're asking once more for you to consider to help us complete these vital public investments and public amenities and infrastructure to ensure that this lasting public asset is fully realized. We're happy to stand for any questions that you may have, and thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning.
Thank you very much, Mayor Mullen, for being with us. This might be for Ms. Yeager. I just wonder how much of the increment is currently being spent inside the district, and then, like, under the proposed changes, what would the new percentage be? And
Please introduce yourself as you get started. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair Gomez, Chair Davids, and the rest of the committee. My name is Aurora Yeager. I'm the city manager of YZ. The exact percent of the TIF district that's been spent in district on project expenses is about 20%. These components of the project would be about 25% in the bill and in this bill.
Okay, so, sorry. Rep. Akam, did you want to add something? Or
I just was wondering if that answered your question.
So currently 80% of the increments being spent outside of the District 6?
I'd have to look, okay. Chair Gomez and Chair Davids and the rest of the committee. I'd have to give you the exact dollar amounts because I'm looking at forecasted over the entire life of the district.
Yeah.
If we forecasted all of it, about 20%, that's we've currently allocated towards the existing.
Yes.
So there's many
Understood.
Of it that is not allocated at this point.
Right. And I understand it might be a range, but if it's possible to get me kind of an estimate of like what is currently under the current law being spent inside district, even if it's a projection over the 20 years of the project, and then what the proposal would be, that'd be great. And Representative Akam, I don't know if you.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that.
Great. Thanks. Are there other questions? All right, not seeing any. Any final thoughts for us, Representative Akam?
Thanks for the consideration, and I hope we can earn your support.
Thank you very much for being here, and thank you to our testifiers. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 3360 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it is laid over. All right, next up on the agenda is Chair Joachim, 43, excuse me. Chair Joachim is going to move that House File 4643 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Chair Joachim, to your bill.
Thank you, members. My electronic brain's even slower than my real one this morning. All right, here we go. Hello, Chair and members. Thank you for hearing House File 4643. This bill is a request a five-year extension to an existing TIF district. In 2021, the City of Hopkins created a TIF district 1-7 at 325 Lake Road to develop a site that was home to a former cold storage facility located on approximately 13 acres adjacent to Minnehaha Creek and along a major light rail transit line. It needed a lot of remediation, as you can imagine, since it was a cold storage site and didn't have any. The 13 acres have no other real infrastructure in them. The City of Hopkins is, to tell you a little bit about the City of Hopkins, it's only 2 by 2 miles, so this would be a really substantial project for the city. We're also 65% rental, 40% BIPOC, and 30% of our families make under $35,000 a year. So when we make decisions in the City of Hopkins, we're very careful about how we balance out all our housing and our industrial and our other projects. And we're very proud of the work that we've done with affordable housing. This redevelopment represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reshape a key site in a way that will deliver lasting economic, social, and environmental benefits. The proposed redevelopment is a phased development and will include approximately 660 units of high-density, affordable, and market-rate housing, senior housing, owner-occupied townhomes, and some commercial uses when completed. That's what the vision of the city is. In addition, there will be a significant stormwater infrastructure developed to assist with treating polluted runoff from approximately 270 acres from three adjacent municipalities. This is close to just across the street from a project we did with our park and with Three Rivers and Hennepin County. At that time we had the 1 mile of Minnehaha Creek that was the dirtiest along the entire creek, and we've cleaned that up with that project and hope to do more with this. Finally, the proposal also provides access to Minnehaha Creek while improving its ecological integrity. In the first 2021, the first phase of this development has been completed with the construction of Chorus Apartments. It's a 116-unit building. 100% of the units in the building are set at 50% AMI. Due to the evolving market conditions that began in late 2021, including rising interest rates and increasing inflation on construction materials, construction of the remaining portions of the development have not commenced. This is not unlike the stories you will hear today from cities around the state. Under current law, as you know, the five-year rule requires the project expenditure to be completed by March 3rd, 2027. Certain portions of the development will not meet that expenditure within this time, actually the majority of the development, since only one piece has been built. And we're requesting an extension of the five-year rule to 10 years in order to preserve the use of TIF to continue to advance the redevelopment project opportunity. With me, I have Kirsten Alvrum, the Director of Planning and Economic Development with the City of Hopkins, with me to answer any technical questions and present a little bit more that I might not have covered.
Excellent. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself as you get started.
Chair Gomez, Chair Davis, thank you for having me. I'm Kirsten Alvrum, Director of Planning and Development with the City of Hopkins. Representative Joachim did a really great job summarizing this bill. We had really great success out of the gate with the Chorus development, and then market conditions really started to stall out while that building was being constructed, and we found ourselves in this place of needing an extension to realize this project, which is really extremely important to the city. It's a very large site. It's also adjacent to the Green Line station at Blake Road. It's on the Green or the Cedar Lake Regional Trail, so it's got great connectivity for the region, and we feel it's really an aspirational vision, but one that we can accomplish if given some more time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any member questions on 4643? All right, not seeing any. Chair Joachim, any final thoughts for us?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I know TIF can be used differently in every city. I'm here to say that Hopkins has been very judicious and efficient with their TIF districts. Before I left council, we worked to combine them and to make sure that we were not adding more burdens onto our city. And I'm very proud of the work the city's done, but we have more to do.
Judicious and efficient with TIF, we love it. That's exactly what we want to hear. Thank you so much. With that, Chair Joachim is going to renew her motion that House File 4643 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it is laid over. Up next, Representative Ream with House File 3450. Chair Cagle, you're on deck, 3447. Welcome to the committee, Representative Ream. Welcome back, I should say. I'm going to move that House File 3450 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Representative Ream, to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez, Chair Davids, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present my bill, House File 3450, a request to extend the duration of a TIF district in the City of Chaska. Chair Gomez and members, House File 3450 adds an additional 10 years to the Chaska Economic Development Authority, TIF District Number 23. This TIF district has been created but not yet certified, so it has not begun collecting any increment yet. Tax committee members likely know that all redevelopment districts are allowed to collect increment for 25 years. This bill moves the authority up to 35 years, and given the additional 10 years, the bill requires that the county and the school district, in addition to the city, must approve it for it to advance. So now a few words about what the bill is for. This 10-year TIF duration extension is to address our Chaska City Square West redevelopment in historic and beautiful downtown Chaska. City Square West is an exciting redevelopment that will include commercial space, affordable and market housing, a mercado to support minority-owned businesses, a public plaza, a paseo, and public safety improvements throughout the development. With me is Chaska Mayor Taylor Hubbard to testify to the details of this request and to tell you more about City Square West. Matt Podrowski, the city manager of Chaska, is also here as well as Elise Durbin, the assistant city manager, here to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Ream. Mayor Hubbard, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself as you get started.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. My name is Taylor Hubbard, Mayor of the City of Chaska, and with me is City Administrator Matt Podorowski. Thank you, Co-Chair Gomez, Co-Chair Davids, and the members of the committee for this opportunity. Thank you, Representative Ream, for your continued support of this project and for HF 3450. The City Square West project is the redevelopment of an entire block in historic downtown Chaska. Identified in our 2012 downtown master planning process as a key catalyst site to help revitalize this once thriving regional commercial center. When completed, this project will deliver 120 high-quality housing units, including 20% affordable at or below 50% AMI, new commercial spaces including a mercado or indoor farmers market to support minority-owned businesses, a signature public plaza for year-round activities, a pedestrian-friendly paseo connecting key downtown destinations, underground public parking and improvements to adjacent streets to enhance safety and accessibility. The benefits of City Square West are significant. It builds on the regional and national draw of destinations like the Chaska Curling Center by creating a new space for events such as markets and concerts. The sale will improve pedestrian safety by providing a safer mid-block connection along Highway 41 and strengthen access to the Minnesota River Bluffs Regional Trail, which extends to Minneapolis. It expands multifamily mixed-income housing options to create a vibrant, walkable downtown and support for our local businesses. It serves our growing Hispanic community by creating an affordable, welcoming space for entrepreneurs to grow and celebrate their businesses. Chaska TIF District Number 23 was established to help bring this vision to life. Despite strong private and local commitment, the project continues to face significant funding challenges due to increased construction and financing costs. Extending the TIF district is essential to maintaining project feasibility and ensuring these important public benefits can be delivered. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here today, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mayor Hubbard, for your testimony. Is there any member discussion or question on House File 3450? Not seeing any. I'll just say that I appreciate when we're asking for an exception to the TIF laws that the school district and county are consulted, and so I appreciate you for bringing that forward. I think that that's one of the things that I think about when we authorize a lot of TIF districts is the impacts on those other taxing jurisdictions and the lack of input that they have sort of formally under the process, so I appreciate that. With that, I'm going to move that, Representative Rehm, any final thoughts for us?
Thank you very much for considering the bill. Chaska is a beautiful historic place, and we are trying to improve it to make it more walkable, more business friendly, and just more thriving for everyone.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Representative Rehm, and thank you to the testifiers for being with us today. With that, the chair will move that House File 3450 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it's laid over.
Thank you for being here.
All right, up next, Chair Cagle, House File 3447. I will move that House File 3447 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Chair Cagle, welcome to your bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and Chair Davids and members, for the opportunity to present my bill, a tax increment financing bill designed to assist the City of Columbia Heights in redeveloping an area of the city that needs your assistance. The bill extends the 5- and 6-year rule for the Atlantis TIF district, which is a redevelopment district. We believe that this bill would provide the City of Columbia Heights with the necessary tools to invest in our community. The district is in the heart of our city, and it needs your assistance. Today with me is Council President Rachel James, and if you permit, she will provide more information regarding this request. Also with me is City Manager Aaron Chirpik, who is available if you have any technical questions.
Thank you, Chair Cagle. Welcome to the committee. Council President James, please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and all the members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to provide testimony regarding our proposed legislation. As been stated, my name is Rachel James. I'm the Council President of the City of Columbia Heights, and I have with me our City Manager, Aaron Chirpik. So in 2021, the city created the Atlantis Tax Increment Financing District to redevelop what was a predominantly vacant strip mall located on 10 acres right along the city's main commercial corridor, Central Avenue. This redevelopment really represents a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reshape a key site in a way that delivers lasting economic, social, and environmental benefits for our city. The proposed redevelopment includes high-density, affordable, and market-rate housing, senior housing, and some commercial uses, as well as significant stormwater infrastructure improvements that are required for the area. As we've heard before, due to evolving market conditions that began in late 2021, including rising interest rates and increasing inflation on construction materials, the construction of these apartments has not yet commenced, which is not unlike other stories you will hear from many communities in our state. New housing units of all types are desperately needed, and we are hoping to provide some of that housing within our community. Under current law, the 5-year rule requires that the project expenditures be completed in the Atlantis TIF district for us by August 3rd, 2026. Since we cannot meet this deadline, the city is requesting an extension of the 5-year rule to 10 years in order to preserve the use of TIF to advance this redevelopment opportunity in the city. So we are here today to ask for your help to solve this challenge for our community. We believe that this bill will provide the City of Columbia Heights with important tools to invest in our community and help it continue to grow. And we hope that we can work with you and the committee moving forward as you consider legislation in this session. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Council President, for your testimony. Are there any questions or discussion from committee members? All right, not seeing any. I'll just say I just learned something about TIF districts new just now, which is that when I said to Chaska, I'm so glad that you get approval from the school district and the county. It's actually a requirement for certain extensions under 469.1782. So we're always all learning new things, especially about something as complex as TIF. So. But appreciate that. So not seeing any discussion, Chair Cagle, any final thoughts for us before we close up?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. You know, one of the cool things about this is that we are going to be getting the arterial bus rapid transit line that is going to be the F line. So with the construction beginning there, it would be great if we could take advantage of this development to build housing and businesses near the transit lines. So I'm really excited about this, and thank you for taking the time to hear it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Thank you, Council President and City Manager, for being with us. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 3447 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it is laid over. Chair Cagle staying with us.
I am.
The supporting characters will change. I'm going to move that House File 4519 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Chair Cagle, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. The City of Fridley seeks to extend the Northern Stacks TIF District to 2031. It's currently set to expire in 2027, and the proceeds from the district support the Fridley HRA housing program. The HRA has deployed nearly $3.5 million through a number of various programs, including the Fridley Front Door grant program for owner-occupied homes to make visible exterior improvements. Home improvement loan, which is a low-interest loan for interior and exterior repairs and upgrades at owner-occupied single-family homes. Senior deferred loan programs, zero-interest loans for homeowners, income-qualified homeowners under 62 to get the funding to make home improvements so that they can stay in their home. Home better deferment loan, a zero interest loan that defers low income homeowners taking on major remodeling projects, with the loan being forgiven after 30 years of continued owner occupancy. There's also down payment assistance loans and multifamily low interest loan program for rental properties between 1 and 12 units. So with that, I can turn it over to my testifier.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair Gomez, Chair Davis, and members. My name is Luke Cardona, and I serve on the Fridley City Council. I'm here in support of House File 4519, extending our authority to transfer excess increment from TIF District Number 20 to the Fridley Housing and Redevelopment Authority through 2031. And thank you, Representative Cogle, for helping us out here. Fridley's housing stock is old. 77% of our units are more than 60 years old. Our median income is 62% of the metro average. A third of our residents are people of color, and many are seniors on fixed income. These are the neighbors least able to absorb the cost when they need to replace a roof, new furnace, or any other sort of upgrades that are needed in order for them to stay in their homes. TIF District 20 is uniquely suited to help us here. It covers a now cleaned up Superfund site that was for decades plagued our city and hampered redevelopment. It was on the list of worst national Superfund sites, and people feared it would pollute the city's water supply. Today, that cleaned up land has created over 2,000 jobs and is generating the increment we're putting to work for our residents today. HF 4519 makes one modest change to the current TIF statutes. It allows Fridley to continue to using the existing excess increment from District 20, the interest savings from the city's refinancing and general obligation bonds to renovate owner-occupied and rental housing units through 2031. Legislation passed in 2023 gave us a great tool to help. Since it took effect, the Fridley HRA has deployed, as mentioned, nearly $3.5 million through six of our housing programs. A quick recap of those: the Fridley Front Door Grant Program, the Home Improvement Loan Program, our Senior Deferred Loan Program, Home Betterment Deferred Loan, Down Payment Assistance Loan, and a Multifamily Low Interest Loan Program. These programs are working for our residents. The first required legislative report was filed on February 1, 2025. The legislator has full visibility into how these funds are being used. And I still want to be very clear that our city council is committed to decertifying District 20 by the end of 2031, which is nearly a decade ahead of the statutory deadline. Other taxing jurisdictions will see these properties return to the full tax rolls years early. This is not a request for a new TIF authority or new districts. It's simply a request to extend a narrow, proven, and fully reported housing finance program before the 2027 sunset cuts it short. So I urge and appreciate all of your support in this, and I'm also joined with our Community Development Director, Paul Bowen, if there's any sort of technical questions that you need help with.
Thank you very much for being with us today. Chair Joachim had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, it's more of a statement and saying thank you for being creative and wanting to help folks, especially can relate to the fact that you have an old housing stock. Hopkins is the same way. So St. Louis Park, that's why we had a pilot project to extend excess TIF into affordable housing trust funds with three different cities. Unfortunately, that pilot project is timed out. Hoping to bring it back statewide because this could be something that they could do with an affordable housing trust fund with that legislation and not have to come up here and ask for it. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
All right. Thank you, Chair Joachim. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, Chair Cagle, any final thoughts for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair. So where this TIF district is the old site of FMC or United Defense or BAE Systems, whatever it is now. But it's a where they make guns for the military. And both my dad and aunt work there. And now it's actually a really cool brewery. So it's the Forgotten Star Brewery that helps housing. And so it's just kind of a cool project. You can go to a really sweet brewery and know that you're helping out the neighbors of Fridley.
Absolutely. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chair Cagle, with that, I will renew my motion that House File 4519 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. And it is laid over. Chair Katiza Watoon is next with House File 4552. I will move that House File 4552 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Welcome to the committee, Chair Katiza Watoon. Please describe your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and members. House File 4552 is a refresh on the proposal that the committee passed last year, which would request an extension for the City of Eden Prairie to reestablish tax increment financing by extending that timeline for a couple of years. The city's aging mall site and infrastructure was exempted from blight findings so that the city could establish a redevelopment district that would include housing and some additional economic development for the Eden Prairie Center and adjacent rights of way. For members of a certain age, you may be familiar with the Eden Prairie Center from cult classic movies like Mallrats and Drop Dead Gorgeous. So this is something that the city is really excited about, and my mayor, Ron Case, is here to join me this morning to tell you a little bit more about the project and the reason for this extension request, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Chair Katiza Watoon. Mayor Case, welcome to the committee. Please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ron Case. I'm the mayor of Eden Prairie. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you briefly about this proposed bill. Thank you, Representative Katiza Watoon, for authoring the bill. Madam Chair, just to show that I have been a good listener, Eden Prairie has also been judicious and efficient with our one other economic TIF district. And per law, we've also consulted with our school district and county. We're extremely grateful for this committee's support of this legislation, or the legislation approved in 2025, to help us respond to shifting market conditions, and provide us flexibility to support reinvestment before significant decline does occur. I'm here to respectfully request your support for extending the allowable timeline for the establishment of that TIF district. The city continues to work with the Eden Prairie Center ownership and its development partners to finalize redevelopment plans. While we are making good progress, we need a little bit more time. Without this flexibility, this critical project could be further delayed, which would not serve the local and regional economic, housing, or environmental objectives. This extension would support sustainable and environmentally sound development practices, support housing production, including much-needed affordable housing, ensure that redevelopment efforts continue to strengthen the tax base over the long term. This proposal acknowledges that extraordinary circumstances have required more time, but not different standards. We are so grateful for your assistance in the past and respectfully request the ability to extend the TIF timeline to ensure that this redevelopment project proceeds, succeeds, community and regional benefits are realized, and prior investments are not lost due to factors beyond our control. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'd be happy, or we'd be happy, to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Mayor Case. Are there any questions on House File 4552 for Rep. Cutizawatoon or the testifiers? All right, not seeing any. Chair Cutizawatoon, any final remarks for us?
Thank you, chairs and members, for listening to this request today. We, again, appreciate the committee's support previously and would be really grateful for some additional flexibility in getting this project off the ground.
Thank you very much, Chair Cutizawatoon. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 4552 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it's laid over. All right, final TIF bill is from Chair Schumacher. House File 4490. I will move that House File 4490. I have it written down two different ways. I'll move that House File 4490 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Chair Schumacher, welcome to the committee. Please describe your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the members of the committee. This is a TIF extension for the city of Mountain Lake, and I believe there's an A1 amendment too, Madam Chair.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I got flummoxed by the two different bill numbers. So would you like me to move the amendment?
If the flummoxing is over.
Madam yeah, Chair, I yes. think my flummoxing has completed. So I'm going to move the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion on the motion? Not seeing any. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion is adopted, and the bill is in the form the author would like. Chair Schumacher, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I will turn it right over to our testifier today, former Representative Rod Hamilton.
Representative Hamilton, so wonderful to see you. Thank you. We're always happy when you come visit. Please go ahead with your testimony.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Davids. For the record, my name is Rod Hamilton. I'm here on behalf of the City of Mountain Lake and Mountain Lake CDA. And Madam Chair, I'd like to start with the end, if I could. We are happy to announce that we're actually starting construction on this site. This is the little TIF that could. I know that we've been here before as far, because I actually carried the extension back in 2021. And like I said, we're happy to report we had four dilapidated buildings on this corner lot. One was a dry cleaner. Those buildings have been removed. The dry cleaner, the contaminated soil has been removed. We have just brought in sewer and water, stubbed that in, and it is being staked, and the footings are going to be dug here shortly. So why are we here? We had found, or have found, a private developer. She graduated from Mountain Lake High School. She loves the community. She wants to invest in the community. And we did, in order to make this housing development cash flow, we reached out to Southwest Minnesota Housing Partnership, worked with Minnesota Housing Partnership. I would like to thank Chair Howard and Chair Igo, I believe, for the assistance through Minnesota Housing. And so why am I here? Our bond counsel that we are working with, they said it would give them great comfort because of the history of this lot, TIF 1-8. It would give our bond counsel great comfort if this TIF had that three-year extension to coincide with the housing funds. We have already have signed development agreements. All that is in place. And so, again, this is bond counsel saying if we could get this passed, it would give them great comfort. So that's why we're here, Madam Chair. And with that, I will stand for questions.
Well, we do want to comfort the bond counsel, I think.
Right.
So,
yes.
But Representative Hamilton, but the project is anticipated to start this year. That's kind of the schedule that we're on.
Madam Chair, there is a backhoe sitting on there.
Excellent.
Right now. I mean, literally last week when I was testifying in Senate committee, they were stubbing in the sewer and the water pipes. And that backhoe will be digging the foundations as soon as they get the people back there to do it. So, yes, it is being built this
Excellent.
Year. All right.
Thank you so much. Is there any questions or comments on Chair Schumacher's bill? I feel like I should waste time so that we can wait for Chair Davids to get back, because he didn't even get to rib you at all while you're sitting up there, and I know he'd probably have some really good zingers for us, but unfortunately, I think we've got to keep
That's
moving,
okay.
But we really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts for us, Chair Schumacher? Okay. All right. Thank you. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 4490, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it's laid over. Thanks so much for being here. All right, so we're switching gears now from tax increment financing to Rep. Egbadje's special bills. Sorry, she's just shaking her head like, what are you doing to me? So while she gets settled up there, I wasn't planning on, like, I hadn't thought through what I wanted to say about TIF, so I just want to say a couple of final comments, I think. So one thing that we didn't say at the very beginning is that the idea with TIF is that you forego the benefit of, like, that increment in the adjusted net tax capacity with the assumption that it's adding to the future tax base. And so that's why, like, it would be in the interest of all the other taxing jurisdictions to, you know, to kind of participate and to think it was okay, because even though the school board and the county are kind of losing tax base in the short term, the idea is that long term that will be kind of returned to them at a higher level. And so I guess that's one thing that, as we're looking at TIF proposals, that I want us to keep in mind is, like, is this going to increase the tax base at the end of the day, or is this being used as an exception for another thing that will not lead to that increase in tax base, which sort of justifies the cost to the net tax capacity that schools and counties and other taxing jurisdictions have the ability to have access to. And then the final thing that I would say is that, I don't know, maybe this is true, like, all over the legislature. I've mostly worked in taxes since I've been here. I would say that the decisions that we make end up constituting precedent. So every time that we allow an exception to a state statute, especially if it's, you know, in the case of these local projects, we can expect that there will be a line with that same kind of creative exception behind that first applicant. And so just as we kind of as we proceed through the decisions about TIF that can seem like, oh, we're just, you know, kind of giving them an extension on this or giving an exception to this rule here or there, those can have just unintended consequences and introduce sort of distortions into the tax code and into the way that we do public finance across the state. And that, you know, if it's, in my opinion, it's always better if, you know, if we're seeing sort of to look at things in a kind of comprehensive statewide way instead of, you know, granting little exceptions here and there. If there's something that, if there are exceptions that we're continually approving and that we think are good policy, then we should make those policy changes and not kind of continually do this piecemeal thing. But with that, I'll
stop talking about TIF, and we'll move on to our next bill. Chair Davids, we missed you because we had Rep Hamilton up here, and he left. So I was trying to stall because I was like, I'm sure you'd want to give him a little bit of grief at least, but we'll do that later. Hopefully,
yes,
he'll still be around.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Okay, so Rep Agbaje is going to move 4361 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. Welcome to the committee. I understand you have an author's amendment, DE2.
Yes.
Do you want to explain it, or do you want us to just move it, and then you'll just explain the bill overall?
Yeah, if we can move the DE2, and then I can explain it as a whole.
Great. Chair Agbaje has moved the DE2 amendment. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Motion prevails. The DE2 is amended, and the bill's in the form the author would like. Representative Agbaje, to your bill as amended.
Thank you so much. Co-chairs and committee members, thanks for the opportunity of presenting House File 4361 as amended. So this bill represents the City of Minneapolis' interest in updating its downtown tax boundary to include the North Duluth neighborhood. It also presents an opportunity for the city to recoup its excess tax from the U.S. Bank Stadium while still maintaining its responsibility to pay the direct costs to the stadium. The city first developed the downtown tax in 1986 to fund varied development, construction, and maintenance of assets like the Convention Center and others. Considering the changes since 1986 to Minneapolis, the North Loop neighborhood now has many of the same amenities and attractions as downtown and should be part of the current-day downtown entertainment district. In addition to funding and preserving the city's downtown assets, the downtown tax also helps pay down the bonds for the U.S. Bank Stadium. Currently, the city pays into four obligations related to the stadium. Number one, we repay the state for the city's portion of the defeased construction bonds, which I believe happened in 2023. The other area that we pay into, we pay also for annual operating costs of the stadium. We also pay for annual capital costs to the stadium. And then the fourth area that we pay into, it captures growth from inflation and increased sales across Minneapolis, and a portion of that growth is retained for the benefit of the MSFA. So originally, those funds, when they were going into that tranche, were unrestricted, but in 2023, it was narrowed to be restricted to capital expenses. This bill does not change the city's commitment to pay those first three obligations, which actually is upwards of over $500 million over the next 20 years. The bill only eliminates the fourth obligation to the stadium, which was providing any excess revenue from the city directly to the MSFA. With this change, the city will be recouping approximately $62 million until about 2046. And they can use that to address the downtown assets it owns, unlike the stadium, which is owned by the state. And some will say that this fourth obligation, because it's now restricted to capital expenses, has a more limited use. But it does seem duplicative since we already do pay annual capital costs that the city is paying to the stadium. Finally, this bill does contain rider language for the PGA to secure tournaments in Chaska, and it will use $7 million from the Minnesota Forward Fund to the city of Chaska to attract PGA tournaments. And with that, I have a testifier here who can add additional details if she would like, or we can go to questions.
Excellent. Welcome to the committee. Ms. Gildum, good to see you. Please introduce yourself as you get started.
Likewise, Chair Gomez, Chair David, and members of the committee, thanks for having me. My name is Angie Skildum. I am the Director of the Development Finance Team in the Finance Department at the City of Minneapolis. And I am very pleased to testify in support of House File 4361 as amended, which would add the North Loop neighborhood to the City of Minneapolis's existing downtown taxing boundary. As the Representative Agbaje just noted, this boundary was first established in 1986 when the state was authorizing a collection of a series of special taxes for the City of Minneapolis to fund development, construction, maintenance, improvement, and promotion first of the Convention Center and later for related downtown facilities. Two of the special taxes that are part of the city's authorized local option sales taxes, a 3% liquor tax and a 3% restaurant tax, apply only in the downtown taxing area, which is defined in state statute and is currently outdated. We believe the expansion of the taxing boundary to include the North Loop will bring it more in line with the scope of downtown activity as that activity exists today and ensure that there is fairness between businesses that are located throughout downtown. For example, currently the downtown liquor tax applies if you purchase a beer while you're enjoying a show at the Fine Line, but does not apply if you're doing the same at the Fillmore. These venues are just a few blocks apart, and they're both generally considered to be downtown. The expansion of this boundary will also help the city to address what has been a 20% decline in our downtown property values and help keep the burden of that shift from shifting onto homeowners. Revenues from the downtown restaurant and liquor taxes, along with the city's citywide sales tax and citywide lodging tax, are retained by the state to help cover the city's obligations to U.S. Bank Stadium. As Representative Agbaje mentioned, this bill, as amended, would eliminate the city's fourth obligation to the city on top of the city's original construction and ongoing capital and operating obligations, which are not changing. And again, I would just like to note that the state is the owner of U.S. Bank Stadium, not the city of Minneapolis. So I'll conclude by saying we appreciate the representative for bringing this proposal forward to bring the downtown taxing boundary into alignment with downtown as it is known today.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else present who wishes to testify before we switch to member discussion? Not seeing any. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Thank you for the presentation. Question I have is, have you seen I guess first of all I'm going to ask is, what's the difference in the tax rate from Minneapolis and the North Loop?
Ms. Skildum? Or maybe we could, so you want to know, like, if you're within the special downtown taxing district, what's the difference in the
yes.
tax rate that you'd pay on, I mean, I guess, are you asking specifically?
Well,
because it's just on certain things, so it's on, like, food and bev and lodging?
So, exactly, I mean, you're yeah. looking to bring it in the North Loop, so what would the sales tax increase to if, once 3%. It's brought in?
3%.
3%?
Okay. Ms. Golding, yeah.
So then my
Representative
question,
Johnson.
Sorry,
okay.
Chair, is, have you seen that there was any migration from Minneapolis out the North Loop as a result of what the special taxation, and then would there be any concern of people then moving out of North Loop as a result of that?
Representative Agbaje.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gomez. Thank you, Representative Johnson. So if you, because I have lived in the North Loop and also lived in Minneapolis, so people kind of see the whole area as kind of one. So I don't think there's a necessary, if the purpose of your question is, are people sort of like not going to Minneapolis but going into the North Loop to avoid that tax? That's not really happening because all of those amenities are sort of all seen as in the same neighborhood. So I think people will go, as Ms. Skildum said, they'll go to a show on one side of downtown if whoever playing there is someone they want to see, and then go to a restaurant in North Loop. But they don't really think about it as like, oh, I'm trying to save on a tax. It's more just like, what is nearby to where they want to be. So what the city of Minneapolis is trying to do is, because everyone treats essentially the whole area now as downtown and as the entertainment district, then the city of Minneapolis should be recouping the benefits from that extended area as people treat it.
Okay. Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Chair. That's all.
Thank you. I know I can say I've been to a show at the Fillmore and a show at the Fine Line, and I did not notice the difference between the beer tax, although maybe now I will. I think we sort of, I don't know how responsive people are to that, but I think it's a good question for us to discuss. Yes, Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, and I just want to, because it's in our notes here about this, and I want to bring a point here that's really important, especially now in the space we're in with government money being used for things that we didn't intend it for. The Minnesota Sports Facility Authority, I've been on this board two out of the four terms I've been in the House. I've met zero. This is a serious thing. As legislators, we're supposed to sit on these boards. The boards are supposed to call the meetings, and they don't. This is the way we ended up digging into our EMS structure about making sure we do the oversight we have to do. And I am sick and tired of these fake boards out there that we apparently are part in. As Representative said, that this is a state facility that we should be looking at. We don't, I mean, we're going to invest more money in it, whatever. We have these big obligations to both the Twins and to the Vikings right now that we're signed on the bottom line for. This is exactly where we should be involved in stuff like this, to see what other creative ways we can pay our obligations. So I'm sorry, I'm on a rant about this. Thank you, Chair.
You know I love it when you go on a rant, Representative Hewitt, especially about this topic. So, okay. I didn't realize that you were on the MSFA Oversight Board.
That's, well, I never meet.
Right, so maybe it doesn't matter that you're on there, and that's why I didn't know, but that's curious to me. We'll do some follow-up on that, it sounds like, because, you know, there are continued requests in front of this legislature for, you know, public dollars to go to that facility, and so I think, you know, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because to the extent that we're being asked to, you know, put more public money into it and the mechanisms for legislative oversight are broken, we need to fix them. So thank you for that. Is there any other discussion before we go to Chair Davids? Mm-hmm. All right, not seeing any. Chair Davids.
Thank you so much, Chair Gomez. And the bill itself, I think, makes some sense, but the amendment, just so members know, it's not agreed to. The amendment here is not agreed to. Well, what's not agreed to? Well, first of all, I'm going to take the amendment and take it to my office. I'm going to frame it because I think it's suitable for framing from lines 3.2 to 3.28 that finally we recognize the importance of the PGA, the championship events. And so that's a good thing. I'm very excited about that. It is such a good thing for the state, and the money that will come in is just going to be tremendous, going to be amazing. So I'm very excited about that, and I will support that, but not with this funding mechanism. So we've got to think about how we fund that. But I'm all behind the PGA because the state makes so much money on it. It's just a good business decision. I remember trying to raid the fund that we're trying to raid here to build veterans' homes. And you would have thought that I had taken somebody's firstborn. It was just, I got beat down so bad. You don't touch this. There's no agreement. And, oh, we're just eliminating the fourth item. Well, the fourth item is for maintenance for the stadium. And that's a commitment the city made. That's a commitment the state has. And we need to keep that in there. But like I said, you will, next time you come visit me in my office for our weekly meetings, you'll see this framed on my wall. I'm so excited about it. With that being said, again, members, there's no agreement on the amendment. I did vote for the amendment because I could not vote against lines 3.2 to 3.28. I just wouldn't be able to sleep at night, and I'm worried about my sleep. So, members, there's work to do on this one. I like where it's headed, but it won't be funded this way.
All right. With that, Representative Agbaje, please wrap us up.
Thank you for hearing the bill. I know that this has been a priority for the city of Minneapolis for quite some time, and I think part of it is trying to figure out a way to get it across the finish line. We have presented it multiple years in a row, and we are hoping that this year can be the year that we move forward with expanding our downtown tax district. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Agbaje. With that, Rep. Agbaje will move that House File 4361 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it is laid over. Up next, House File 4344. Representative Agbaje is going to move that House File 4344 be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill. I understand, Rep. Agbaje, that you have an author's amendment, an A1. That's in our packets. Would you like me to move it?
Yes, please.
All right. Rep. Agbaje is moving the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion to the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, no. Motion carries. The A1 amendment is adopted. The bill's in the form the author would like. Representative Agbaje to House File 4344 as amended.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, Mr. Co-Chair, and members. Thank you for the opportunity to present House File 4344. This is a bill that clarifies the original intent behind the legislation authorizing the creation of tourism improvement districts. The bill, as amended, now resolves any remaining streamlined sales tax issues. It does this by clarifying that any Tourism Improvement District service charge is not subject to the sales tax when listed separately on the receipt. As you'll recall, the original legislation allowed a municipality to establish a tourism improvement district through a locally driven process, one initiated by hotel and lodging businesses and finalized through a local ordinance. During previous hearings to create the program in the past few years, the intention was that the tourism improvement district was meant to be a pass-through fee to the consumer. It was not intended to be treated as revenue to the hotel, and it was not intended to be considered part of the taxable sales price. That understanding is reflected in the Department of Revenue's own analysis at that time, and there was no suggestion, even then, that the Tourism Improvement District charge would be subject to sales tax, nor that it would generate any additional general fund revenue. The revenue analysis here today also reinforces that assertion by showing no impact on state sales tax. House File 4344, as amended, aligns the statute with the intent that the authors, advocates, and this committee have consistently expressed. And so with that, I do have one testifier joining us today, Mr. Melvin Tennant, and others are also available if there are additional questions.
Melvin Tennant, welcome back to the committee. Good to see you. Please proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Agbaje, and members of this taxes committee, my name again is Melvin Tennant, President and CEO of Meet Minneapolis, which is our city's destination marketing organization. Our mission is simple, and that's to strengthen the economic and social prosperity of Minneapolis by attracting visitors, meetings, and events. All of these activities that support local jobs, small businesses, and the overall vitality of our community. I first want to thank the representative here for bringing this bill forward, and thank you for Representative Davids for being the co-author, and I also want to thank the Department of Revenue for its drafting the amendment. That's very important to us. As the representative shared, the Tourism Improvement District is something we worked on within the legislature over the last three sessions. And in 2023, the legislation passed, and shortly thereafter, we began the process of establishing the state's first Tourism Improvement District. It's the first one in the state. We're very proud of that. I know other communities are considering establishing such districts in their jurisdictions. As was mentioned, that process began with a petition from our local hotel and lodging partners. It began with them. They were the origin of it. And they followed up by the unanimous adoption of an ordinance by the city of Minneapolis, unanimous adoption by city council in Minneapolis. This is a strong collaboration that reflects how important the TID is to our city and the state. However, as we started implementing the TID, as has been mentioned, we learned that the service charge authorized under the statute was being interpreted as a charge on the seller and not a charge on the customer. That's an important distinction. And that interpretation meant that it could be subject to sales tax, which was never the intent. So as you've heard, the intent, the one that I personally testified to multiple times, was that the service charge be added to the customer's bill at checkout, just like any other pass-through item. So House File 4344 simply clarifies that original intent of the statute so that the TID can be implemented as it was intended. So again, I thank you for your time and continued support of the Minneapolis tourism industry, which definitely is in recovery mode right now. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Tennant. Appreciate you being here. Chair Swidzinski, I'm calling everybody chair today. I better call you chair too.
Better than sofa, Madam Chair. just a question to the testifier. So kind of just within the system that's currently going on, kind of what accountability when it comes to the dollars being spent are there in place? So as the dollars are coming in, what accountability measures are currently going on?
Representative, members of the committee, we have a 9-member board that is made up of the hotels, if that's your question, sir, mm-hmm. How those dollars are being expended. The ordinance requires that the board of this TID be constituents, those that are actually doing the collection. So we have 9 members of our lodging community that represent this board, the governance committee, and they are the ones that make the decisions on how the dollars are expended. They meet currently biweekly, and they work very closely with our team to do the implementation, since the dollars that they are spending are complements to the dollars that we receive from the city of Minneapolis. They were meant to be additive, so we are the consolidators of those efforts, and we report to that board as far as how those dollars are spent.
Chair Swidzinski?
Sounds good. Thank you, Chair Gomez. To the testifier.
Yes, sir.
Who is it? An appointed? It's an appointed, or is it an elected? And then who appoints to be on that board, or is it kind of a self appointment within the hotel community, or what
it's,
would that be?
It's
Mr. Tennant.
Yes, yes, Chair, Madam Chair. The initial appointments were made by a task force, and they set up a system through which the members of that committee would represent various sectors of the lodging community based on size of hotel, location, to make sure that we represent the entire city of Minneapolis. So after that initial appointment, they are on terms that it is a self-appointed term, but it's identified within the statute that the members of that committee have to be members in leadership of a hotel within Minneapolis.
Chair Swidzinski?
And just thank you, Madam Chair. Just a final question. So what would you expect, so on an average $100 bill, you know, how much does that add to the cost to the final customer? Like for $100, what would this be from a TID charge?
Mr. Tennant?
Could you flesh that out a little bit? Thank you, Mr. Tennant.
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative, that percentage that's being collected is 2%. So it is a pass-through to the visitor. And those dollars are collected by every single hotel within the city of Minneapolis into a fund that, as I mentioned earlier, is controlled by this 9-member Tourism Improvement Governance Committee, sir.
Chair Swidzinski.
Thank you. And I lied to you. That was my last question.
You
Madam
did.
Chair.
We noticed.
Is the board, you know, oftentimes we've heard of you know, those that are collecting the tax, oftentimes there's administrative time. There's, you know, staff time that are dedicated to doing analysis, whether it's from an accounting standpoint, collection standpoint. Are those hotels able to charge back on that 2% some of their administrative fee for each hotel within that system?
Mr. Tennant, we might need to go to staff. I mean, I assume that's a no, but if you have an answer.
Madam Chair, at this point, there's no individual chargeback to the hotel, but as Meet Minneapolis, as the administrator of this program on behalf of the MTID, there is up to by statute, a 5% administrative fee to perform the services that they need to manage budgets, to do all of the other administrative functions that are required.
Yes, Chair Swidzinski, good. Oh, I'm wondering, so has this just been in place since June 30th, 2025?
Madam Chair, yes. That's when the City Council voted unanimously in June. The actual collections began last September.
Great. And how much do you bring in an average month into this the fund?
Madam Mr. Chair, the anticipated, again, before Operation Metro Surge and the downturn, was approximately $600,000 a month would be collected by our hotels within the Minneapolis. And it's only Minneapolis. And each community, I know you didn't ask this question, has the ability to establish a tourism improvement district within their jurisdiction.
Great. Thank you for that. Is there any further discussion? Chair Davids?
Thank you, Chair Gomez. And I would like to thank Mr. Tennant. We've met many times and trying to get this all straightened out. And as a co-author of the bill, I want to thank Representative Bajay for carrying this. And I'm really hoping, members, we can get this one across the line this year. I think it's very important that we do that. So I'm in total support of this one and hope we get it done, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Chair Davids. Representative Agbaje, any closing comments for us?
No, thank you very much.
Wonderful. With that, Representative Agbaje will renew her motion that House File 4344 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the 2026 tax bill, and it is laid over. That concludes our agenda for today. The next meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. Chair Davids has the gavel. Chair Davids.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And members, if you would look at your agenda for the day and just go to the back of it, we have a very, very busy schedule tomorrow. Watch your emails. We will be getting some extra time to work on these issues. So thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Chair Davids. That concludes our business for the day, and we are adjourned.